Pasal kedua ayat 8 sampai ke 14. Luke's Gospel chapter 2 verse 8 to verse 14. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Jadi nas Alkitab yang mau kita membaca ialah Lukas pasal kedua bermula dari ayat 8 sampai ke ayat 14. Pada malam itu beberapa orang gembala sedang menjaga domba di padang. Tiba-tiba malaikat Tuhan menampakkan diri kepada mereka dan cahaya kemuliaan Tuhan menerangi mereka sehingga mereka ketakutan. Tetapi malaikat itu berkata, "Janganlah takut, aku datang membawa berita baik untuk kamu. Berita yang akan menggembirakan semua orang. Pada hari ini di kota Daud telah lahir penyelamat kami, Kristus Tuhan. Inilah tandanya, kamu akan menerima seorang bayi yang dibedong dengan kain dan berbaring di dalam palung." Tiba-tiba malaikat-malaikat itu disertai oleh sepasukan besar malaikat syurga yang memuji Tuhan. "Termulialah Tuhan di langit yang tertinggi, dan di atas bumi sejahtera manusia yang menyenangkan hatinya." Begitu bunyinya firman Tuhan. And this occasion when we want to remember the significance of Christmas, the danger of any celebration being taken astray to become something else is very great, and especially with Christmas. Kita bersama-sama di sini pada hari ini untuk mengingati, mengenang apakah sebenarnya maksud hari Natal, Christmas. So we know that in the world, many people have gone astray celebrating it in a, what we would regard as worldly way. They buy and sell, they put on loud music, they are very happy. Now there's nothing wrong with them being happy. We are happy when people are happy. But as God's people, we must never forget what Christmas means to us. Jadi kita dapati kebanyakan orang dalam dunia pun turut bersama bergembira dengan kita. Akan tetapi mereka ini bergembira, mereka bersenang hati dalam cara duniawi. Untuk umat Tuhan, kita tidak mau terlupa mengapakah kita meraihkan hari Natal, hari Christmas. Di Malaysia kita kata hari Christmas, di Indonesia kita kata hari Natal. Tapi kita mengertilah apa maksud kita. Jadi kita mau tahu apakah maksud hari Natal itu. Now we want to look at the passage before us which we have read earlier, and we want to focus on verse 10 and verse 11. "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord." Kita mau tumpukan perhatian pada nas Alkitab yang sudah kita baca dah tadi, yaitu kita tumpukan perhatian pada ayat ke-10 dan 11. "Tetapi malaikat itu berkata, 'Janganlah takut, aku datang membawa berita baik untuk kamu, berita yang akan menggembirakan semua orang. Pada hari ini di kota Daud telah lahir juru selamat kami, Kristus Tuhan.'" So we want to take note that this passage reminds us of at least three things. The first thing it reminds us of is the fact that we should be joyful. We should be joyful for a purpose, and that is to understand the meaning of this day. So joy should characterize God's people. Are you joyful today? And are you joyful for the right reason? Kita seharusnya bergembira hati kita seharusnya rasa senang. Mengapa hati kita rasa senang? Mengapa kita rasa gembira? Adakah kita bergembira dalam cara yang salah? Kita mau bergembira dengan mengerti apakah maksud hari Natal, hari Christmas ini. So we must understand the significance of this day in order to be joyful in the right way. And printed in the sheet, I have put down a well-known verse, a verse known to many Christians, which is John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, this concerns the coming of God's Son. Therefore, the birth of Jesus Christ is referred to. And you note that this verse concerns the coming of the Son of God to save those who are perishing. And how is he going to save those who are perishing? In the context of that passage, John chapter 3, the Lord Jesus Christ told Nicodemus that just as Moses raised up the bronze serpent, so also the Son of God must be raised up. And whoever looks to him, looks at him in faith, who believes in him, they will not perish and have everlasting life. That is a reference to the death of Jesus Christ. Therefore, you can see that the death of Jesus Christ is connected with his coming. He came in order to die. He died in order that we may live. That is the significance of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we must really understand in order to have joy, joy of the right kind. Kita mau sama-sama bergembira dalam cara yang betul. Kita tidak mau seperti orang duniawi yang bergembira dalam cara duniawi. Tetapi untuk kami, untuk kita sama-sama bergembira dalam cara yang betul, kita seharusnya mengerti apakah maksud hari Natal itu. Seperti yang dinyatakan dalam Yohanes pasal ketiga ayat ke-16, Tuhan sudah mengutuskan anak tunggalnya ke dunia ini supaya sesiapa yang bertobat percaya kepadanya tidak akan termusnah, tetapi mereka akan mendapat kehidupan kekal. Jadi kedatangan Yesus Kristus sebenarnya ada kaitan dengan kematiannya atas salib. Yesus datang, dia dilahirkan di dunia ini dengan tujuan disalibkan atas salib kayu itu. Dan oleh kerana kematiannya atas salib, kita mendapat kehidupan kekal. Tanpa mengenali maksud atau tujuan kedatangan Yesus Kristus, kita tidak akan menikmati kegembiraan yang sejati. In order for us to have that joy that we are talking about in this passage of Luke chapter 2, we must understand this fact, that the Son of God has come to this world to be the Savior of his people. So that brings us to the second point. Who is that Savior? Luke chapter 2 tells us that there is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The word Christ means the Anointed One, and he is the Lord. He is none other than the Son of God who has come to this world to lay down his life for his people. Human beings in their own wanted cleverness, they are unable to receive this truth. But this is the truth revealed to us in God's word, that God has sent his only begotten Son to this world to take upon himself perfect human nature while remaining God. That is why we treat Jesus Christ as God and man in one person. He's truly God and he's truly man, but without sin. How can man be without sin? We ask, all men are born sinners. But remember, when Adam and Eve were first created, they were truly humans, but they were without sin. So when they rebelled against God, later disobeyed his command, then sin entered their lives. Otherwise, they were alive on this earth and they were without sin. So don't be surprised that it is possible for Jesus Christ to be born without sin. The Holy Spirit protected him from the contamination of the sin of Mary. So he was born through the Virgin Mary, but he did not receive the sinful nature of Mary. He only received the human nature, but without sin. So human nature minus sin. The Spirit of God ensured that. Yesus Kristus dilahirkan melalui Maria, tetapi dia tidak menerima dosa Maria oleh kerana Roh Kudus sudah pun melindunginya dari dosa Maria. Maria itu hanya digunakan sebagai alat di mana sifat kemanusiaan diberikan kepada Yesus. Yesus ialah manusia yang sempurna dan Yesus adalah juga anak Tuhan. Jadi nas Alkitab itu menunjukkan kepada kita bahawa juru selamat itu sudah pun sampai. Dia tidak lain dari Kristus, yaitu Tuhan kita. Jadi Yesus Kristus ialah anak Tuhan dan dia juga manusia yang sempurna. Dia itu dalam satu oknum, dia satu peribadi. Yesus satu, tetapi dia ada sifat keilahiannya dan juga sifat kemanusiaannya. Orang biasa yang memikirkan diri bijak, pandai, mereka susah, sukar mau menerima hakikat ini. Ini ialah sesuatu yang telah dinyatakan kepada kita. Dia ini diwahyukan kepada kita oleh Roh Kudus. Dengan cara ini, kita mendapat seorang juru selamat. Tanpa Yesus Kristus, tidak ada juru selamat yang lain. So that apart from Jesus Christ, there is no other Savior. So this is the second point we must grasp. We can be joyful only when we have the right understanding of Christmas. What is the right understanding of Christmas? The first thing you must understand is that Jesus Christ is that Savior that God has given to us. He is the Son of God, who has taken upon himself perfect human nature without ceasing to be God. He is God and man in one person. Jadi kita akan bergembira kalau kita dapat mengerti maksud atau tujuan hari Natal. Dan apakah maksud hari Natal itu? Hari Natal itu menunjukkan kepada kita kedatangan Juru Selamat yang sudah diutuskan kepada kita oleh Tuhan kita. Dia tidak lain dari Yesus Kristus yang berperi kemanusiaan juga dan keilahian dalam satu oknum. Yesus Kristus ialah juru selamat orang yang berdosa. Then we come to the last point which we must grasp. If we want to truly understand the meaning of Christmas in order to be truly joyful, not only must we understand that Jesus Christ is that Savior that God has appointed for us, but Jesus Christ has come to save his people by his death on the cross. And this is where the link with John chapter 3 verse 16 is so very strong. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, and he has been sent here in order that whoever believed in him will not perish but have everlasting life. How may we have everlasting life? It is by Jesus Christ laying down his life on the cross for his people. By his death, he paid for the sins of his people. We know that our sins against God is regarded as a debt which we cannot pay. In the Lord's Prayer, we learn that, see, that the debt that we owe to God is actually the sin we have committed against him, which we are unable to pay. Jadi Yesus Kristus datang ke dunia ini untuk menyelesaikan keselamatan umatnya. Bagaimanakah dia dapat menyelesaikan keselamatan umatnya dengan kematiannya atas salib? Dia menggantikan umatnya supaya mereka, dia yang mati tetapi mereka yang mendapat kehidupan yang kekal. Now, that is a point we must grasp, that Jesus Christ laid down his life as the perfect sacrifice for the sins of his people. In our outreach to the migrant workers, we have been using various illustrations to bring home the point. One of the illustrations we have been using, which they are very familiar with, is being taken by the police and put in jail. They're all very fearful. Every time the police draws near, say, when you are put in jail for something you have done wrong, see, it's not a pleasant experience. And when you get in, you would want to come out. When you are in jail, can you come out? Ah, yes. How? By paying money. Paying money how? To them, they smile, you see, and you understand. But let us say, in the normal situation, you pay the fine, you pay the money, you see. They smile because there are other ways of paying the money. Eh? But they pay the money in order that they may get out. Right? The fine has to be paid before you can get out. But when you are punished by God, you will be sent to hell for all eternity. The question is, when you are sent to hell as you deserve, will you be able to come out? You will not be able to come out. Because what are you going to pay God with? With your money? Your money? Where did your money come from? It's from God himself. He gave you life. He gave you opportunity to earn. And here you try to pay back with the money that he has given you. It cannot be. And can money make up for the guilt of your sins? It cannot. Therefore, you are unable to get out of hell. Jadi, sewaktu kami melawat apa pekerja-pekerja dari luar negeri, kami ada sering menggunakan apa contoh-contoh untuk apa menerangkan apa yang diajar dalam Alkitab. Satu dari contohnya ialah, sekiranya kita membuat sesuatu kesalahan dan diperkas oleh polisi di sini, polisi itu meletakkan kita dalam penjara. Kalau sudah masuk penjara, dapatkah kita keluar lagi? Cukup berpikirkan. Oh ya, masih boleh keluar. Kita dapat keluar kalau kita membayar uang yang secukupnya. Okay? Dalam mana-mana caralah. Kalau uang itu yang secukupnya sudah dibayar, kita dapat keluar. Tetapi kita sudah membuat salah terhadap Tuhan, Tuhan kita. Kita seharusnya mati dan dihukum dengan penjara yang lebih dahsyat dari itu. Itu kita akan dimasukkan ke dalam neraka. Neraka yang di mana terdapat bakar api yang membakar selama-lamanya, sengsara, kita kesakitan dan bersengsara di sana buat selamanya. Adakah kita dapat keluar dari neraka itu? Pikir, bolehkah? Dengan membayar uang, uang itu datang dari siapa itu? Kehidupan kita datang dari Tuhan. Kesempatan untuk mendapatkan uang itu datang dari Tuhan. Jadi uang itu sebenarnya dari Tuhan kita. Adakah kita dapat menggunakan uang untuk membayar dosa kita? Itu tidak dapat. Kalau tak diterima Tuhan, macam mana kita mau keluar dari penjara neraka itu? Ha, itu beda dari penjara di Malaysia atau di Indonesia. Ini neraka. Kita tidak dapat keluar dari neraka. So you see now that hell is different from any jail, anywhere, whether in Malaysia, Indonesia, Nepal, or anywhere else. You cannot come out by paying any money. So what must be done? Don't go into hell. Don't go in. If there is any debt that you owe, pay it before you go in. Because once you get in, you cannot come out. Jadi apakah apa penyelesaiannya? Penyelesaiannya ialah kita membayar hutang dosa kita itu sebelum masuk ke neraka. Kerana sesudah masuk ke neraka, kita tidak dapat keluar lagi. Jadi lebih baik kita selesaikan hutang kita dahulu. Tetapi bagaimanakah dapat kita menyelesaikan hutang kita itu? Bagaimana? Mau membayar uang tak diterima. Tak wajar diganti dengan uang. Kita tidak mampu menyelamatkan diri sendiri. We have no way of saving ourselves. And this is where the mercy of God, the love of God is shown to us. God showed his love to us in sending his only begotten Son, who came to this world to pay for our sins by dying in the place of his people. That is how our sins are paid for. Jadi kita tak ada kuasa, tidak ada upaya untuk menyelesaikan hutang dosa kita. Dan disinilah terdapat kasih Tuhan. Tuhan menunjuk kasih-Nya dengan mengutuskan anak tunggalnya, Yesus Kristus, ke dunia ini. Yesus Kristus menjadi pengganti kepada umat-Nya. Dia mati atas salib untuk membayar hutang dosa umat-Nya. Dengan cara itu saja, dosa kita dapat dibayar. Kalau tidak, hutang kita tak terbayar. So it is here that the call of the gospel comes in. We are to turn from our sins to trust in Jesus Christ in order to receive that salvation. Here is a free gift. Here. Here is the gift, all gift, the gift. The gift is complete. Here is offered to you. Are you going to stand there and stare and smile and thank you very much? It is for you. Then do something about it. Extend your hand out to receive that gift. You cannot contribute to the gift, but you can receive it freely from God. Extend your hand of repentance, extend your hand of faith, and receive this gift of salvation, which is found in Jesus Christ alone. Christ has done everything needful to save sinners by his death on the cross. Come and receive this free gift. Bagaimanakah kita akan menikmati keselamatan yang terdapat pada Yesus Kristus? Keselamatan itu adalah satu kurnia dari Tuhan. Kita tidak dapat membuat apa-apa untuk melebihkan nilai keselamatan itu. Yesus sudah selesaikan apa-apa yang diperlukan. Sekarang hadiah itu, kurnia itu, dihulurkan kepadamu. Adakah kamu berdiri di sana dan tersenyum, tersengih-sengih saja dan kata terima kasih? Kapankah mau terima hadiah ini? Bilakah mau terima hadiah ini? Hulurlah tanganmu untuk menerima hadiah itu. Hadiah yang sempurna itu. Hulurkan tangan kanan, yaitu bertobatlah. Hulur dengan tangan kiri, yaitu percayalah. Bertobatlah dan percayalah. Menerima hadiah yang sempurna itu dengan pertobatan dan kepercayaan. Believe. Repent and believe in Jesus Christ. Extend your hand of repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And that is how our sins are forgiven. That is how we are spared having to be punished in hell. That is how we are reconciled with our God. Itulah satu-satunya cara kita diampunkan segala dosa kita. Kita dilepaskan dari hukuman masuk ke neraka. Dan kita juga diperdamaikan dengan Tuhan kita. Itu caranya. Itu bukankah berita baik untuk kita? Is that not good news to us all? And Christmas celebrates the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That sinners may be reconciled with God. Sinners may have their sins forgiven. Sinners are accepted as God's children. Jadi itulah maksud Christmas, hari Natal. Ia menunjukkan kedatangan Yesus Kristus. Melalui dia, kita dapat pengampunan dosa kita. Kita diperdamaikan dengan Tuhan kita. Kita mendapat kehidupan kekal. Siapakah di antara kita sudah benar-benar bertobat dan percaya? Siapa di antara kita sudah membuat keputusan mau mengikuti Yesus buat selama-lamanya? Who among us have repented of our sins? Who among us have truly believed in Jesus Christ? Who among us have made up our mind to follow Jesus Christ for the rest of our life? A person who has made up his mind to follow Jesus Christ for the rest of his life will declare it by undergoing the waters of baptism. So we show to people that we now belong to God. We really have made up our mind to follow the Lord Jesus Christ for the rest of our life. That's why we get baptized in water, which we are going to witness today. There are many here I know who have repented and believe in Jesus Christ. Sometimes we forget that we have committed ourselves to the Lord. We have given of our life to the Lord. We no longer belong to ourselves. The Lord has bought us with His blood. We belong to Him. We must seek to please Him, not to please ourselves. Often it is that we seek our own comfort, our own convenience. We are very selfish, we are very self-centered. That ought not to be. Christmas is a time when we ponder upon these things, we meditate upon these things, and we come back to our Lord, confessing our sins. We come back to the Lord, making up our mind that we will put things right. Jadi hari Natal, hari Christmas itu ialah waktu kita juga merenungkan kehidupan kita. Bagi kami, kita yang sudah bertobat dan percaya, adakah dalam tahun ini kita berjalan dengan Tuhan kita dengan cara yang betul? Banyak kali kita mementingkan diri sendiri dan kita tidak menuruti ajaran Alkitab. Biarlah hari Natal ini kita bertobat, meminta ampun dari Tuhan dan membuat keputusan. Mulai hari ini, kita mau kembali ke pangkuannya. Kita mau ikut dia. Okay?